the door, and it instantly flew open as Master Sergeant Zell Halvis burst into the room, causing Charindis to stumble over a dead man's legs and fall on her butt.
"Damn it, Mariah!" Shari snapped. "Are you all right, Shari? I was until you knocked me down. Sorry, who were they?"
the sergeant asked.
"Followers of the Cutter," Shari growled. "They thought they could take us because Stevie isn't here to protect us."
Master Sergeant Zell Halvis shook her head.
"After you and Sarandis took four men when you couldn't even see them?"
Charindis gave her a sardonic grin and spoke in a sarcastic tone as she said,
"I said they were followers of Lebowan. I didn't say they were smart."
All the royal guardswomen and more than half of the guardsmen had crowded into the suite. Shari looked around to find her daughters in Helva and Delva's arms, then looked for Sindal. Sindal was just sitting up. Her nose was streaming blood down the front of her blouse, and the look in her eyes was murderous.
"Princess Charindis, is everyone all right?"
she asked, as two of the guardswomen started tending to her.
"Yes, Sindal. The only ones who got hurt were you and them."
Sindal was holding a cloth to her nose and blinking to clear the tears from her eyes.
"I must humbly apologize, Your Highness. I wasn't prepared for a servant to attack." "None of us were, Sindal. The servants in a royal inn are supposed to be thoroughly checked out."
Master Sergeant Zell Halvis was looking at her and nodding thoughtfully.
"Indeed they are, Princess Charindis. I think someone needs to fetch the innkeeper and see if he knows these men."
She looked at one of her guardswomen and nodded.
"At once, Master Sergeant,"
the woman replied, and headed out the door. Looking around the suite, she focused on the twins.
"With your permission, Princess Shari, let's get you and the girls out of here."
"Definitely,"
Shari breathed.
"I need something to calm my stomach."
Now that the attack was over, Shari was feeling the effects of adrenaline withdrawal. Shari was just leaving the suite when the innkeeper arrived.
"Oh, Princess Charindis, this is so horrible. Nothing like this has ever happened before."
Shari froze him in his tracks.
"Innkeeper Feljandar, three men just walked into my suite by claiming to be your servants. While I have a few questions for the royal guards, I'm sure they are going to have even more questions for you. For now, though, do you recognize any of these men?"
She turned and pointed to where the guardswomen had laid out the bodies.
"I do, Your Highness. The one in the middle is Master Mage Landar Felwalton. He keeps shop on the Avandian side of town. I'm sorry, Your Highness, but I don't recognize either of the others."
Shari shook her head.
"Finding out who one of them was should be easy enough. I know that one,"
she pointed to the one closest to the door,
"was a priest of the Cutter."
"Lebowan's priest, Your Highness, are you certain?"
the innkeeper asked.
"He said something about not being able to defy Lebowan's will before he died."
The innkeeper bowed deeply before saying,
"As you say, Your Highness, but the High Priest of Lebowan in this area is Lord Carvar Zeldravel. He has his temple here on the Caribbean side of town, near the old Temple of Justice."
He looked at the man again and shook his head.
"I suppose he could be a Shia priest. He's too young to be an inquisitor."
Shari nodded.
"I'm sure King Taravan will be very interested in talking to the High Priest about this incident. You do realize that King Kaelin would have declared war on Cavadia if anything had happened to his granddaughters, don't you?"
From the sudden look of terror that crossed his face, it was apparent that the idea was new and frightening to him. Shari continued after he'd had a few moments to consider her statement.
"For now, though, get your real servants to clean this room. I won't impose on my staff to clean up your mess."
With that, she turned and led the way out of the suite. She didn't seem to realize that she was still holding Stavin's dragon's tongue at rest, but the innkeeper couldn't take his eyes off it. All the royal guardswomen surrounded the princesses as they left, and the guardsmen surrounded them. The innkeeper was left alone with Avrin, Ralph, and three dead men. The innkeeper turned to find the royal servants glaring at him.
"I'll just go fetch some help."
One of the warriors was sent to find Stavin, and ran into the fort just as Karvik defeated his opponent.
"War master!"
the warrior shouted.
"There's been an attack!"
Every eye in the fort turned toward him as he slowed and bowed to Stavin.
"Princess Shari and your daughters are safe,"
he said loudly, because Stavin was already coming toward him at a fast walk. Stavin, Karvik, and Major Zell Astel all reached him at the same time, and it was Stavin who demanded,
"What happened?"
"Three men posing as servants went to the royal suite to fill the water heater. When they entered the suite, they slammed the door and attacked. Princess Shari killed all three of them, then let the guardswomen in."
Karvik looked the warrior in the eye and asked,
"What do we know?"
"Sir, one man was a mage, and one was a priest of Lebawan."
Stavin snarled as his lips pulled back. He said,
"The cutter,"
as he turned toward the Caravian general, and a disturbing growl rumbled out of his chest. Everyone stepped away from the sudden air of menace that he exuded. Major Zell Astel turned to General Kel-Eshin as well and asked,
"What do you have to say, General?"
in a tightly controlled tone. The general had a look of fury on his face that conveyed his own anger quite clearly.
"There is a temple of the cutter on the east side of town, Major."
Stavin looked at the general and took a deep breath before saying,
"This is your kingdom, General Kel-Eshin, but I must suggest in the most strenuous terms that you investigate this incident."
The general bowed before saying,
"It will be done, Prince Stavin. While I must insist that you and your family remain at the inn, I invite your officers to come along as observers. His Majesty is going to be in a royal fury when he hears about this."
Stavin took a deep breath to object, but Major Zell Astel shook his head ever so slightly, and he nodded.
"Back to the inn, then,"
he said in a resigned tone. Karvik put a hand on his shoulder.
"You know it has to be this way, Steve. You protect them. Let us protect you."
Stavin nodded and put a hand on Carlin's shoulder.
"Let's go make sure Mummy and your sisters are all right."
Carlin nodded, but it was obvious from his expression that he was angry and anxious.
"Why would they attack Mummy? Are they cowards?"
he asked as he looked up at his father. Stavin nodded.
"Most people who attack women and children are, Carlin. Those who aren't are just evil." "I don't like Lebawan. He's mean. Lady Sarin isn't mean. She's the kind of goddess I like."
Stavin exchanged an amused glance with Karvik.
"So do I, Carlin. So do I."
The walk back to the Royal Swan was quiet. That ended when they reached the inn.
"What in the name of all the gods is going on?"
Stavin wondered aloud. The entire inn was surrounded by royal guards, and every one of them was conspicuously armed. In the case of the warriors, that meant full armor, as well as swords. Even Stavin was momentarily intimidated by their display, and from his expression, so was General Kel-Eshin. Karvik took the lead as they approached the stairs.
"Report,"
he demanded, and Sergeant Zelfordan stepped forward and came to attention.
"Sir, the inn is secured, and Master Sergeant Zell Hulvis ordered us to guard the perimeter while she and her ladies stay with Princess Charindis and the children."
Karvik nodded.
"Very well. Keep the royal family safe while we join the Caravians in investigating the followers of Lebawan. Understood?"
"Sir, understood, sir,"
the sergeant snapped.
Karvik turned toward Stavin and nodded. "Stay inside, Your Highness."
"Understood, Major Kel-Karin,"
Stavin said in a low tone.
but don't get too used to this."
Karvik let a slight smile curve his lips, before turning to General Kel Eshin and bowing. "Shall we, sir?" The general nodded and turned away as he said,
"This way, gentlemen."
He led the way toward the east, as Stavin and Karlin mounted the stairs. Shari was sipping wine, while the twins cuddled in their maid's laps when Stavin and Karlin arrived. Karlin ran to his mother, while Stavin went to pick up his daughters. He spent a moment just cuddling them. "If something had happened to them, I never would have forgiven myself." Turning toward Shari with both girls in his arms, Stavin asked,
"Are you really all right, Shari?"
Sharindis sighed.
"Yes, Stevie, I'm fine. I was a little shaky for a while, but it was just the excitement."
Stavin nodded and cuddled the girls for a moment longer with his eyes closed, before asking,
"And are you all right, my darlings?"
Maren took the lead and said,
"Mummy killed the bad men, Daddy.
She just grabbed your dragon's tongue and cut them up,"
Saren added.
"And that, my darlings, is why I always do what Mummy says,"
Stavin said as he smiled.
"Do not,"
the twins replied in unison, making their parents laugh. Chapter 7 General Kel Eshin hadn't needed to give any orders. His second-in-command had heard it all and arranged a force of 200 men. Those men were waiting behind them as the general turned away from the inn.
"To the Cutter's Temple!"
he shouted. The sound that came back from the troops made the short hairs on the back of Karvik's neck stand up. Major Zell Astel was similarly affected.
"Someone is very unpopular,"
the major muttered. Karvik simply nodded. It was a long walk to the Temple of Lebawan, long enough for Karvik to get nervous.
"This is bad," he whispered to the major. "They sound like an angry mob."
Major Zell Astel nodded his agreement. The temple of the god Lebawan was old and impressive, dating back to imperial times. The facade was adorned with Lebawan's shears in a circle of gold. Around it were depictions of the finest human forms, rendered with superior skill and exquisite care.
"Lebawan's perfect specimens,"
Karvik muttered.
"Kavar Zeldraval!" General Kel Eshin shouted. "Come out of there, priest of the Cutter!"
A man emerged from the temple, but his simple red robe gave notice that he was not the high priest. He was, however, arrogant enough to be one.
"Who are you to speak that way to the high priest of the greatest of gods?"
he demanded. The general waved his men forward with the command,
"Bring that fool down here!"
And 10 of the troops rushed up to drag the startled priest to their commander.
"Stop this! You can't do this to me! I am a priest of the great god Lebawan!"
the priest shouted all the way until he was thrown roughly to the ground at General Kel Eshin's feet.
"Where is Kavar Zeldraval?"
he demanded in an angry growl.
"High Priest Zeldraval has gone to Moravat,"
he replied, as he looked up at the men around him.
"But when he returns, all of you will be condemned."
The general looked at his men and snapped,
"Imprison this fool in the fort guardhouse,"
he snarled.
"You can't,"
the priest shouted.
"You can't imprison a priest for following the commands of his god." "I can when those commands involve treason,"
the general snarled in reply, as he glared at the priest.
Treason?
The priest asked, suddenly not so sure of himself. He looked at the troops and seemed about to panic. The general just stared at him, then waved toward the fort and commanded,
"Take him away."
Major Zell Estel stepped forward.
"General, we will report these events to Prince Stephen."
"Thank you, Major. When are you planning to continue on to Moravad?
The Major looked at Karvik for an answer. Karvik shrugged. Tomorrow, probably. Stephen hadn't planned on staying this long. The General was glaring at Karvik as he said,
Just because His Highness isn't here is no reason to be disrespectful, Major.
Sir? Karvik asked, as his head tilted to the side.
Let it go, General,
Major Zell Estelle said in a resigned tone.
Major Kalkarin and Prince Stephen are closer than most brothers, except they don't fight as much as my brothers and I do.
Prince Stephen and I were friends in Cavanston. We were greenlings together on our first expedition to the Lowlands, sir, Karvik said with a grin. I won a silver crown from him because I made my first kill before he did.
You, of course.
The General shook his head slowly.
I should have known.
Sir? Karvik asked again.
You were promoted to keep you at the Prince's side. You are really too young to be a Major. No offense intended.
Karvik looked at Major Zell Astel, then started laughing. The Major laughed as well.
General Kel Eshin, Major Zell Astel said. Major Kalkarin was promoted because he's almost as dangerous as Prince Stephen. Those two hollowed stars on his shoulder are there because he has more than 60 combat kills.
Karvik looked at the Major and said,
60 and 6, Major,
with a slight bow. Turning back to the General, he bowed deeply.
Major Zell Astel is the commander of this expedition because of my lack of experience, sir, but my rank is no more than I have earned.
The General seemed stunned by that revelation, but remarkable, was all he said. Major Zell Astel and Karvik both bowed as the General turned and walked away.
Back to the inn, Major? Karvik asked. Yes, I am sure Prince Stephen is going to want to know what has happened as soon as we can get there.
It was nearing midday by the time they reached the inn. Major Zell Astel slowed his pace, so it was Karvik who reached the inn first. Stephen, as was his right, had reorganized the royal guards as soon as the General led his force away.
Master Sergeant Zell Hulvis,
he'd said as soon as he was sure his family was all right,
post half of your women here around our table. I don't want anyone who isn't one of our people near Shari and the kids. I want half of the force on watch around the perimeter of the room, and the other half resting. You'll be on turn and turn about until we leave. As you command, Prince Stephen,
she replied with a bow. Stephen walked over and looked at Sindal's nose.
Broken?
He asked. She nodded mutely, and Stephen looked at the innkeeper's wife.
Get a healer, the best this city has to offer.
The woman looked apprehensive, then bowed and hurried away. Stephen looked at his maids and said,
Helva, I'd like a beer and something to eat. Take a guardsman with you.
He paused as she bowed and turned away, then motioned to the guardsman closest to her. As they left, Stephen turned his attention to Delva.
Take 2 guardsmen up to the suite and fetch Sindal some clean clothes. After the healer is through with her, she's going to need to change.
Delva bowed and started away, with 2 of the guardsmen automatically following on her heels. Stephen looked around and shook his head, then went to the table and deposited each of the girls in a chair before taking the seat at Shari's side. Taking her hand, he kissed her palm.
I am so glad I left my dragon's tongue here.
So am I,
Shari agreed, running 1 finger down the haft of the weapon, as a fond smile curved her lips. She still had it at her side with the bottom blade dug into the wood of the floor.
It made all the difference, but I want my own.
Huh?
I want my own dragon's tongue.
She turned, so that she was staring directly into Stavin's eyes. Stephen chose his words carefully.
Shari, I don't think
She cut him off with a raised hand as soon as he started.
No, Stephen, if you hadn't left yours behind. I want my own weapon, Stephen. One cut to my size that I have been practicing with. You need yours, I need mine.
Stephen took a deep breath, then nodded as he let it go.
You're right, of course. Private Kalfarin, step over here a moment. How may I be of service, War Master Zalandral? Oh, don't pretend you weren't listening, Elisa.
Shari said in a sour tone.
I know you far too well for that.
Elisa Kalfarin grinned at her childhood friend and asked,
How can I help you, Shari?
Stephen answered,
You're about Shari's size, Elisa. I'm writing a note to Colonel Zell Gravel at Fort Zell Keldan requesting a dragon's tongue cut to your measure. So no one but us knows she's armed, War Master. That's the idea, anyway,
Shari answered. Stephen looked over and said,
Master Sergeant Zell Halvis, send four men with her. I want this to look as much like we're just picking up a replacement weapon as we can manage. Yes, Your Highness, she replied. Private Kalfarin, leave your sword here. They'll have fewer questions if you're not armed.
Elisa bowed and said,
Yes, Master Sergeant.
She slipped her baldric over her head and handed it to another of the guardswomen, then took the note from Stephen and bowed again. She and her escort left the inn immediately.
Stephen, Shari said in a soft tone, I'm worried about this. What could the priests of the Cutter want with us?
Stephen shook his head.
I can't imagine, Shari. We'll have to ask their high priest when General Kel Eshen brings him here.
It was just a short time later that the innkeeper's wife returned with a tall woman at her side. The guardswomen stopped both of them before they could reach the royal family.
That's close enough,
Master Sergeant Zell Halvis said, as she held a hand out to stop them.
Stand aside,
the healer commanded.
No,
the Lady of Zell Halvis replied.
You can treat Mistress Sindal over there.
She pointed to the next table.
Now see here,
the healer began, but Stephen cut her off.
Don't even try, he said without standing. The Avandian royal guards don't obey anyone but their officers or the royal family.
And sometimes not us either, he continued silently. The woman glared at him for an instant, then bowed.
Very well,
she said, as she turned away.
Who am I to treat?
Sindal had already stood, and now she stepped forward. The healer looked at her for a moment, then shook her head.
Sit here,
she commanded softly, as she put her hands on the back of a chair. Sindal did as instructed, and the healer hummed as she assessed the damage.
A simple break here,
she said, as she touched Sindal's forehead.
Now I won't have to listen to you scream.
Without another word, she grabbed Sindal's nose and twisted. The sound of cracking cartilage was loud in the common room for an instant, then the healer stepped back.
Good, the healer said. Now your nose is straight, and it will be completely healed in a day or two.
Turning to Stephen, she bowed slightly.
That will be 2 gold crowns. 2 gold?
Master Sergeant Zell Halvis demanded loudly.
For that? 2 gold for the inconvenience of being dragged across town to treat a miserable servant,
the healer snapped. Master Sergeant Zell Halvis glared at the woman and said,
Watch your tone with me.
The healer sneered and said,
With you, a lowly guard.
Sharindis snapped to her feet and walked between the guardswomen. She grasped the healer by the shoulder and spun her around. The healer's expression was one of shock, warring with anger, but the innkeeper's wife had informed her who had sent the summons.
If you don't watch what you say,
Shari snarled in a low, angry tone,
I'll let Lady Master Sergeant Zell Halvis take you out to the circle.
The healer looked stunned.
Lady Master Sergeant,
she asked in a disbelieving tone.
"That is correct,"
the Lady of Zelhalvis said, drawing the healer's attention away from Charondis.
"I beg your forgiveness,"
the healer finally said, bowing to Charondis and again to Master Sergeant Zelhalvis.
Shari said, "Very well,"
then held out 2 gold crowns. The healer looked confused for a moment, then took just one of them with a bow. She didn't say anything else as she backed away 2 steps, then turned and walked rapidly to the door. Shari turned to look at Sindal and hummed, then said,
"That looks better, but you still look like a raccoon."
Sindal laughed, then winced.
"Please don't make me laugh, Princess Shari. It's comforting to know that you still can laugh,"
Shari said as she returned to her seat.
"Yes, it is,"
Stavin agreed. He finished his beer, then looked wistfully at the mug.
"Not till the midday meal,"
Shari said when she saw him.
"It isn't that long to wait."
Stavin nodded, then looked at Sindal again.
"Why don't you go change, Sindal? We won't need you for a while."
Sindal stood and bowed, then she and Delva went to the first floor necessary. Helva looked after them for an instant, then turned her attention back to the table.
"With your permission, Princess Charondis, I'll go to the kitchen and check on the midday meal."
Shari nodded, so she stood and bowed, then turned toward the kitchen. Stavin gestured with 2 fingers, and 2 of the guardsmen followed her. With both maids gone, the twins came around the table and climbed into Stavin's lap. Stavin cuddled both of them for a moment before Shari took Sarin.
"We can leave on schedule tomorrow, Stevie,"
she said as she took her seat.
"I'd like to show my back to this town."
Stavin nodded.
"I'd like to show my horse's backside to this town."
Carlin and the twins started giggling, and Stavin smiled as the last of the tension drained from Shari's shoulders. He looked around and saw the guards grinning as well. Good, he thought. Everyone needs to calm down before something worse happens. Helva returned and bowed.
"The midday meal is ready if you are hungry, your highnesses,"
she announced.
"What do they have, Helva?"
Shari asked.
"They prepared roast duck, mutton stew, roast elk, and a very nice vegetable soup."
"Very nice?" Stavin asked with a grin as the guards chuckled. She grinned back and said,
"I had to sample it to make sure it was fit to eat, Prince Stavin."
The guardsman to her left smiled at his prince and said, "The cook was almost begging for her approval." Stavin chuckled and shook his head.
"Very well. Roast elk for me?" "I'll have the soup," Shari said, "and so will the girls." "I want roast elk too,"
Carlin said, looking at his parents. Helva bowed and said,
"Yes, your highnesses,"
then turned away. The guardsmen automatically went with her. Sindal and Delva returned moments later. Stavin looked at Delva and said,
"Your sister is bringing the midday meal. You should go help. How is your nose, Sindal?" "Better, Prince Stavin. Thank you for getting the healer."
Stavin smiled and bowed his head slightly.
"You are part of our entourage, Sindal. It is no more than you deserve."
Sindal bowed and turned away, going to the kitchen to help with the food. The food was very good, and all 5 of them were well satisfied by the meal. Stavin looked up to find Master Sergeant Zelhalvis watching him.
"You should dismiss your people to eat, Master Sergeant."
She bowed and said,
"Yes, Prince Stavin,"
then began selecting 1/2 her force and sending them to eat. That didn't mean they left. Charondis had insisted that they stay out in the common room of the inn, so the guards took seats at the tables around the royal family. The 2nd set of guards was almost finished eating when Karvik and Major Zelastel arrived. Karvik went straight to Stavin's side and bowed.
"The High Priest was gone, supposedly to Moravat.
Stephen sighed and shook his head slowly.
We'll catch up with him there. Did you learn anything useful?
Karvik nodded. Lebawan, and by extension his high priest, isn't very popular with the troops. For a moment, I thought they were going to storm the temple.
Stephen looked at Shari and shook his head.
What could they have been trying to do?
High Priest Karvar Zeldravel was blissfully unaware of the happenings behind him in Kandalvat. He had been on the road for 7 days, travelling leisurely toward Moravat and spreading the glory of Lebawan as he went.
"This town is filled with defectives," he muttered in a contemptuous tone. "Look at them. Not a single specimen of humanity that Lebawan can allow to exist."
"Shall we begin, O Most Perfect?"
a priest inquisitor asked, and his high priest simply nodded. The inquisitor raised his hand and motioned toward the town, and 100 men rushed forward, mostly Shia priests and commoners devoted to Lebawan. They entered every building, forcing people out of their homes and shops to stand in the town square.
"You filthy defectives are going to be honored by the inspection and judgment of the most perfect High Priest Karvar Zeldravel, Eye of Lebawan, Cutter of the Defective."
A man stepped forward and shouted,
"We don't follow Lebawan here. You don't have any right to inspect or judge us."
One of the Shia priests stepped forward and gutted the man with a quick slice from the badge of his office.
"Lebawan is the only true god, you unworthy defective," the priest shouted as he looked into the dying man's eyes.
The people of the town started screaming, but the priests of Lebawan had a sufficient force to contain them. High Priest Zeldravel watched as the people were brought before him one by one, stripped to the skin for his inspection, and then either herded to one side to redress themselves, or dragged naked to the growing group of the condemned. It took 2 full days to properly inspect them all. They were also filthy. In the end, 17 were judged of sufficient purity to be allowed to live. 53 were set to be destroyed. The defective men were bound to a fence close together as the priests and their more fortunate kinfolk collected stones. Then the stoning began, and the priests forced the pure among the townsfolk to cast the first stones. High Priest Zeldravel frowned when he noticed that 2 of the men he'd allowed to live were taking very accurate aim at the heads of the condemned and throwing very hard as well.
"Bring those 2 to me,"
he commanded as he pointed at the men, and 4 priest inquisitors grabbed each of them, throwing them to the ground at his feet.
"You 2 are casting stones too hard and aiming at the heads of the condemned," he bellowed. "They are to be made to suffer for bringing their defects into Lebawan's realm."
"They are our families,"
one of them said in a tear-choked voice.
"We can't stop you, but we can grant some mercy to our own."
High Priest Zeldravel looked down at them and said, "It is obvious that your defect lies in your mind. Tie him with the rest."
The second man chose that moment to act. Surging to his feet, he reached for Karvar Zeldravel's throat. He wasn't fast enough. One of the inquisitors drove the silver shears of his office into the man's back, severing his spine. High Priest Zeldravel simply shook his head.
"How unfortunate! Now his soul will not be purified for his next incarnation. Carry on."
The stoning took all day to end the defective men's lives. Then the priests turned on the women.
"Punish them for bringing defectives into Lebawan's realm," the high priest commanded,
then stood and watched as each filthy woman was properly punished for her misdeeds. Chapter 8. There were no answers to Stephen and Shari's questions that day,
The next morning, as they prepared to leave, General Kerl Eshen met them on the porch.
"Prince Stephen, I thought I might bulk up your escort a little. I think you remember Captain Rowlands Alcorval from yesterday?"
He paused as Stephen nodded to the captain.
"He and the 100 men and women of the 2nd Company of the 18th Cavalry will be joining you, if you have no objections. After yesterday, I'd feel better if you had a larger force around you."
Stephen bowed and said, "Thank you, General Kerl Eshen. I think Shari and I will both feel better as well." Captain Zelkorval stepped forward and bowed to Stephen, then addressed Karvik.
"Major, I have been instructed to place this force under your command."
"Very well, Captain. Place 25 of your men ahead of us and the rest behind. I see you have several supply wagons. We'll keep them and the baggage wagons in the very back."
Karvik glanced at Major Zell Astel and got a nod of approval.
Major Zell Astel turned to Shari and said, "I really must insist that you and the children stay in the carriage, Your Highness. Prince Stephen is well protected by his armor, but I'd prefer he ride in the carriage as well."
He looked at Stephen and shrugged.
"Not that even King Kaelin could get him to do it."
Stephen grinned.
"Well, maybe Kaelin could manage it."
"Not likely," Shari muttered, as she took a step toward the carriage.
The servants brought the children, and soon all of them were comfortably arranged for the trip.
Stephen nodded to Karvik, and the reinforced expedition was soon back on the road to Moravad.
They travelled without incident for 2 days.
Early on the third day, that changed.
The sunrise cast a bloody red glow over the scene at the mine, making it seem even more grisly than it was. That was significant in light of the brutality of the slaughter. Circling carrion birds had caught Stavin's attention, and he'd sent a strong patrol of royal guards and Caravian cavalry to investigate. Now he stood on a slight rise, looking down on the killing ground. Karvik and Captain Zelkorval walked up to him and came to attention.
"Prince Stephen, you should return to the route,"
the captain said as he bowed slightly.
"You shouldn't see what was done down there."
"Car?"
Stephen asked.
"I have to agree, but for different reasons. There are 30 bodies down there, tied to the fences, and it's bad."
Karvik held up a pair of archaic copper shears.
"It was the followers of the Cutter."
"Damn them!"
Stephen exclaimed.
"Damn them to Eshokanal's hell!"
Turning to Captain Zelkorval, he asked,
"Why? Why would they slaughter everyone like that?"
The captain shook off the shock of hearing a prince mention the evilest one by name, then slowly shook his head.
"I don't know for certain. It may be that they just refuse to obey the priest. There is, however, another possibility."
"That is?"
Stephen asked in a low tone, as if he was afraid of the answer.
"They may have been Ev'ah,"
the captain said in an equally low tone. Stephen and Karvik exchanged a long glance.
"What difference does that make? Dandar Shandrik declared the Ev'ah and Li'ah to be a natural part of our people more than 1,000 years ago,"
Stephen said in a puzzled tone.
"Lady Sarin embraces them as the natural result of overpopulation, as the natural way to reduce the birth rate."
The captain nodded.
"But the followers of Libawan consider them defective because they don't breed to make more worshippers for Libawan's priests to control.
There weren't any women down there at all, Prince Stephen.
The laws of Caravia forbid the priests of Libawan the right to judge anyone but their own followers. But there have been rumors of renegades doing things like this, trying to terrorize everyone into obeying them."
Stephen growled deep in his throat.
"Let me get my hands on them, and we'll see how they like being judged."
Karvik put a restraining hand on his prince's shoulder.
"This isn't Evandia, Steve."
Stavin closed his eyes and took several deep breaths to calm himself before saying,
"No, it isn't. You're right, Carr. But I intend to have some strong words with the king and his minister of justice when we get to Moravat. For now, though," he paused and looked the captain in the eye, "I think we should honor these men, at least to the extent of giving them a proper burial."
The captain bowed deeply. "Thank you, Prince Stephen. I would still prefer that you return to the carriage." Stephen nodded.
"My guardsmen will assist in the burial detail. We'll bring the whole force up to that clearing."
He pointed to a spot about 50 paces away. "And post guards around the carriage."
Karvik was nodding. "That's acceptable to me, Major."
Major Zelastel had walked up behind Stavin in time to hear the conversation. Now he nodded as he said,
"Yes, Major, I think that will be sufficient."
Stavin rode back to the carriage and dismounted. Shari saw his face and asked,
"What was it?"
in a worried tone. Stavin told her in a barely audible tone so the children wouldn't hear.
"We're bringing the whole force up the road a bit, so we can free up more men for the burial detail."
Shari nodded, then climbed to the carriage. Stavin and Karvik led the way to the clearing and set guards. Then most of the force went to the mine. Stavin looked around and shook his head. This was a beautiful area, but now it was tainted by the evil deeds of the Cutter's followers. When he looked back toward his people, he found Shari with her brand new dragon's tongue in her hands, standing beside the carriage as the children walked around her. Stavin stepped over to his family and nodded his approval.
"Stay close to the carriage, kids. No one wander off. And if you have to relieve yourself, 2 servants and 5 guards go with you."
Carlin looked grim when he heard that. He was old enough to resent being treated like a child, but he was also old enough to realize that something really bad must have happened if his father was sending 5 guards and 2 butlers with him to the bushes.
"What happened, Dad?"
he asked in a soft voice. Stavin looked at Carlin and took a deep breath.
"All of the men at the mine were killed, Carlin. That's as much as you need to know." "You're scared, Daddy,"
Saren whined.
"You're scaring me. And me,"
Marin agreed. Stavin nodded slowly.
"Yes, I'm scared. It was the followers of Lebowan. Like the bad men in the suite. They killed a lot of men who hadn't done anything wrong."
Carlin looked at his parents, then climbed up on the carriage and dug out his staff. As was traditional in Cavenston, he had started receiving training with the staff when he turned 5. After more than a year, he was as skilled as any of his cousins in Kel'Kavin. Shari frowned, but didn't object. She understood the urge to have a weapon in her hands all too well. She looked Stavin in the eyes, then nodded her approval. Stavin just smiled. Like his wife, he understood Carlin well enough to know it wasn't worth the fight to get him to put the staff down. Besides, with 160-some guards and cavalry around them, it would take a very foolish foe to attack them. Looking at his son, Stavin said,
"Stay by your mother and watch her back. Remember what Grandpa Charville said about war partners."
Carlin brought his staff to salute and snapped,
"Yes, War Master."
Stavin bowed his head slightly and managed not to grin. Master Sergeant Zell Halvis walked over the rise that hid the mine with a look of murderous fury on her face as tears streamed down her cheeks. Stavin and Shari exchanged a look, then Stavin walked over to her.
"Mariah?" "They were just men living their lives as the gods decreed."
She paused, as a sob shook her frame.
"They were just men, and the Cutter's followers slaughtered them all."
Stavin nodded.
"I know, Mariah, I know."
She shook her head and whispered,
"You don't know, Prince Stephen."
Stavin reached up and touched her right ear, startling her.
"I think I do,"
he murmured.
Then you understand why I want to find the evil son of a goat who did this, and butcher him the way he butchered those poor souls. I understand all too well, Mariah. Now take a deep breath and calm down a little. I need you focused on protecting Shari and the children.
The Master Sergeant took a deep breath and blew it out slowly.
Yes, Prince Stephen. My apologies. It's just... I feel so useless.
Stephen nodded.
I know the feeling. You're not, though. You're needed here, watching the kids. Just keep your people sharp.
She bowed deeply, then began circulating among the guards and troopers who were surrounding the carriage and wagons. It took till midday to bury all 30 of the miners. Stephen ordered the cavalry cooks to prepare the midday meal and sent everyone to eat when they returned from the mine. Karvik and Captain Zell Korval were the last to return.
We buried them off to the side and marked the graves as well as we could.
Stephen nodded.
Eat, then we'll move on. We should inform Lord... Whose lands are these? I don't remember a sign.
These lands belong to the Lord of Zelkoi, the captain replied.
Zelkoi again?
Shari murmured.
Maybe I'll finally get to see that pretty captain.
Stephen rolled his eyes but didn't say anything. It took two spans to get everyone ready to move. When they returned to the main road, Stephen gestured for Karvik to join him.
I want more guards around the carriage now, he said as he looked around.
Karvik nodded.
Agreed. I'd like you in the carriage as well, Steve.
I don't think, Steve,
Karvik interrupted. I know what you're going to see, and you're wrong. It is necessary, if for no other reason than to reassure the kids. They need you in there a lot more than we need you out here. Stephen shook his head, trying to find a way to counter Karvik's point, but finally sighed and nodded.
You're right, Kar. I'll join Shari and see what trouble the girls are getting into.
The whole procession stopped for a moment, and Stephen climbed into the carriage. But his dragon's tongue was slid into a recess in the roof, where he could get to it in a hurry if he needed it. The twins were cuddling in their maid's laps. While they hadn't been told what had happened, they were acutely aware of how quiet and serious everyone was. Stephen looked at them and smiled.
Everything is all right, darlings. We're just going to stop and see Lord Zelkoi. These are his lands.
Saren asked,
Is Lord Zelkoi one of the bad men?
In a barely audible voice.
No, sweetheart, I don't think so. Not many major lords are. Zelkoi is an ancient and noble name, and they are neighbors of the Zelkarans. You remember why that's important, don't you?
Maren nodded.
Because the whole Zelkaran clan is dragon-blessed.
Saren nodded as she eased her grip on Helva.
And Mary Death was a Zelkaran before she became a Zelfordan. Aunt Glora told us the story. And Mary Death's sister was a Zelkoi. Mummy told me that.
Carlin added.
All of you are correct,
Stephen said with a smile.
I don't think anyone with a history as long and honorable as the Lord of Zelkoi would let a priest of the Kata tell him what to do.
Chapter 9 The road wound through low hills and forest, but showed that someone was maintaining it. Both of the bridges they crossed were in excellent condition, and the verges of the road had been cleared back 10 paces. Wildflowers grew in abundance, making a bright, colourful border to the odd imperial road surface. It took until the middle of the next day, and a detour deep into the hills, to reach the Zelkoi estate. Captain Zell Korval led the carriage to the front of the manor and had it stop right at the stairs. An alarmed-looking middle-aged man in elegant clothes came out in response to the arrival of an army patrol, and stopped in his tracks when he saw the Evandian royal crest on the carriage door. Captain Zell Korval announced,
Lord Frelek Zelkoy, I am pleased to introduce His Highness, Dragon-Blessed Senior Warmaster, Prince Stephen Markan Carvan Dokelin Neaniston Zelandral of Evandia, his wife, Princess Sharindis Aurelian Salis Neaniston Zelandral, and their children, Prince Carlin, Princess Saren, and Princess Marin.
Stephen and Shari had already stepped down from the carriage and bowed to the Lord of Zelkoy as he bowed to them.
Lord Zelkoy,
Stephen began, we are pleased to meet you. However, we bring sad news. Lord Frelek bowed again and said,
I am honored to meet you, Prince Stephen and Princess Sharindis. For any reason, please be welcome in my home.
He bowed deeply and swept his arm toward the door. Stephen and Shari gathered their children and followed the Lord into the manor. He led them to an elegant sitting room, where they were met by the Lady of Zelkoy. Stephen was immediately struck by her resemblance to Marina. Tall and blonde, he could see where Sarali Zelkoy got her looks from.
Prince Stephen, Princess Sharindis, I am pleased to present my wife, Lady Sinara.
The lady bowed, as did Stephen and Shari.
I am honored that you chose to stop and visit us, your highnesses.
Shari bowed her head and replied,
We are pleased to meet you both. Many years ago, Stephen encountered a Lieutenant Zelkoy, a sheer member of your household.
Sara Lee Zelkoy entered the room and said,
I am right behind you, Princess Sharindis.
Shari turned to find a tall blonde woman. She paused for a moment as she looked at the woman, then said,
Stephen understated your beauty, Captain.
Sarali stepped closer as a puzzled expression crossed her exquisite features.
You can see now, Princess Sharindis.
Shari bowed her head.
My sight was restored 3 years ago. I didn't believe Stephen when he said you are prettier than Princess Marina.
Sarali had the grace to blush at the compliment.
You are too kind, Princess.
Shari shook her head.
No, I'm not.
Turning back to Lord Frelek, she bowed her head.
Lord Frelek, yesterday we passed a mine near the edge of your lands.
Lord Frelek nodded.
My son Alden's project.
Stephen shook his head.
That makes our news even worse. We were drawn to the mine by carrion birds. Everyone had been killed by the followers of Lebowan.
Lady Sinara let loose a long keen of grief as her legs failed her, and she collapsed at her husband's side as he went to his knees. Sarali brushed past Stephen to reach her parents.
There's no proof he was there.
She began, but her father silenced her.
He was, and you know it,
Lord Frelek cried out as he sobbed.
He left just 3 days ago. He was there.
Sara Lee looked up at Stephen and Shari as tears trickled down her cheeks and spoke in a tear-choked voice.
Alden is my little brother, the youngest of us. What happened? We don't know why they were attacked,
Stephen said in a soft tone.
All we know is that there were 30 of them.
Sara Lee bowed her head and cried for a moment.
That wasn't all of them. Aldi had 40 of his friends working there. We can hope...
Her father looked at her and shouted,
There is no hope! He wouldn't have fled. He wouldn't have let anyone chase him off his own land.
Sara Lee nodded, and more tears ran down her cheeks as she finally whispered,
Not even deceive himself.
Stephen nodded, then looked around to find a group of servants at the door, waiting with expressions of grief on their faces. He nodded, then looked at the grieving family. As one, the group came forward and helped their masters from the floor and out of the room. One man stayed behind and addressed Stephen. He looked as miserable as the rest, but kept himself in check as he bowed.
I am Jordan Falkoy, Lord Frelek's majordomo. I had the maid set a suite to rights for you as soon as you arrived. If you will follow me, I'll lead you to it."
Stavin nodded, and they followed Geordan to a well-appointed suite. Averin was already there, overseeing the rest of their servants. Stavin patted Geordan's shoulder and said,
"You may go. I think your masters are more in need of your services than we are."
Geordan bowed deeply, then backed away, closing the door as he went. Averin stepped forward and bowed.
"Sindal went to arrange something for the midday meal, Prince Stephen."
Stephen nodded.
"Don't unpack much, Averin. We'll be leaving early."
"Yes, Prince Stephen."
Shari turned the girls over to their maids, and Ralph took Carlin aside as well. The grim atmosphere and tension around them was influencing their mood, making them cling and cuddle for comfort even if they didn't understand why. Sindal returned after about two spans with a tray of finger foods. She set the tray down, then turned to face Shari.
"Princess Sharendis, the news you brought has the entire estate upset. The young man was well loved by the servants as well as his family."
Sharendis nodded.
"Then we'll leave them alone as much as we can. Ralph, go find Major Kelcarin and bring him back with you."
Stavin looked at her, so she explained,
"I want Carr and the rest to leave the Zelkois alone. We have plenty of stores, so let's not burden them with taking care of us in their grief."
Stavin bowed slightly as a tender smile curved his lips.
"Wise and kind, beloved."
None of the Zelkois were seen for the rest of the day and through the night. The guards and cavalry troopers stayed away from the house and maintained a respectful quiet. In the morning, Lord Freylich met them at the morning meal. He looked like he hadn't slept a wink, and appeared to have aged 10 years overnight.
"I beg your pardon, Prince Stephen, but the news you brought has taxed us terribly."
"We understand, Lord Freylich. We will leave you to your grief with our thanks for your hospitality and our most heartfelt sympathy for your loss."
Lord Freylich bowed and walked away without another word. Everyone was mounted and ready to ride when a new rider joined their group. Lady Sarahlee Zelkoy rode out of the stables and brought her horse to a stop when a hand of royal guardsmen moved in front of her. She was dressed in full armour, with a sword belted at her waist, and a bow sheathed at her knee.
"Prince Stephen, I would like to ride to Moravat with you,"
she announced loudly,
"and lodge my family's complaint with His Majesty against the priest who murdered my brother."
Stavin said,
"Let her through,"
and the guardsmen shifted to allow her to pass.
"Lady Sarahlee, we grieve for your loss. You are welcome to ride with us. Major Kelcarin, you will allow Lady Zelkoy to retain her weapons."
"You know your father's orders, Prince Stephen."
"I know, Carr, but I trust Lady Sarahlee. King Caelan isn't here, and this is my decision."
Carvik sighed and nodded.
"You're the one he's going to yell at."
"Why do you need his permission, Prince Stephen?"
she asked as she studied Carvik intently. Stavin looked her in the eye as he replied,
"No one but a royal guard may bring weapons near a member of the royal family. Only a member of the royal family can overrule that law."
She glanced at her sword and grimaced as Stavin continued,
"I'm not worried about you, especially now."
Captain Zelkorval looked at her and said,
"Lady Zelkoy, I invite you to join my command staff. Prince Stephen is correct, and so is Major Kelcarin. You really aren't supposed to have a weapon near a member of the royal family of Evandia or Corivia."
Lady Zelkoy nodded slightly.
"Yes, Captain. Thank you for the invitation. Prince Stephen,"
she said as she turned back to him,
"I look forward to discussing these troubles further as time allows."
The enhanced expedition moved on, with the cavalry troopers riding ahead and on the flanks. At Karvik's insistence, Stavin spent most of his time in the carriage. The next stop was just one day farther down the road, but it was not one they could skip. The sun was on the horizon when Captain Zell Corvel led them into the Zell Karen estate. Sara Lee Zell Coy had ridden ahead and was standing on the front porch of the manor house,